Our Father, thank you for how we now come, not just to read your word, but we come now to declare your word, to preach your word. And we are conscious that this is to be done not by human intellect and ability, but to be done by the Holy Spirit leading me and speaking into the hearts of everybody gathered, and even people watching online. We thank you that this makes us realize that we've got to humble ourselves and that your word is to be understood by letting you teach us. So we ask that you would do that today. Lord, there are things for us to learn here, for all of us. So we ask that you would speak to us, and we, in anticipation, give you thanks for what you're going to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few months ago, Colleen, who's getting up, don't know what she's doing, but Colleen, do you remember this? Colleen and I had the privilege to go into the country, to the northeast part of the wheat belt. Do you remember this, Colleen? Yeah, you do. All right. So we went for this long trip, and one of the things we did is to look for wildflowers. So we had a fantastic time looking for wildflowers. So we saw loads and loads of grevillea and what else was there? Banksias and wattles and all those sort of things. Out past Woburn, we even saw the beautiful wreath flower. It's amazing, just growing out past Woburn, past the old rabbit-proof fence, and there we saw it. But also, the other things that we saw, especially around the nature reserve of Woburn Rock, we saw a whole lot of fields of everlastings. And it was just magnificent, the whites and the yellows and the pinks. And like a carpet, it really is like that. These plants didn't have much rain, so they were very small, but the flower was as normal size, and it just looked incredible, like a carpet. Now, the everlasting flower is quite unique. Do you know this? At night time, it closes up. During cloud cover, it half closes. If it's thick cloud, it closes right up as well. But when the sun shines on it, wow, it opens up. And so when we were at our Woburn Rock area, there was some cloud cover, but when the sun came out, boy, what a stunning view we had of all these everlastings on the ground. You know, it was just incredible. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because when I think about the Bible story that we had read to us from Acts chapter 16, I can't help but think of Lydia like an everlasting flower. Do you get the picture here? Yeah, Lydia. Lydia opened her heart to the Son of God, just like an everlasting flower opens itself to the sun, our normal sun. And this morning we're going to be considering this wonderful story in Acts chapter 16 about Lydia, how she came to know Jesus, how she became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been drawn to this passage, I've got to say, first of all, because God leads you as you are before you speak. But also, I'm intrigued how God led us here, because I know that when I think of Sam Taffarelli, I can't help but think of her being like a Lydia, in terms of Colleen and I, just seeing her heart open up to the Lord. And Sam, this other Sam, you're probably the next story on. You know, that's the Philippian jailer, where you needed a bit more of a shake-up before you committed your life to Christ. But praise God that he actually is the one who brings us to this place of trusting in Jesus. I know we need to trust in Jesus, but God does his work in us. Sometimes it's as gentle as just opening our heart. Sometimes you need like a big earthquake to shake you up. That's just how it is. I don't think that happened in you, but some people need that. All right. So let's get started. Let's have a look at this wonderful passage in Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to verse 13. So we read the earlier verses, how Paul had a vision from God because God wanted him to go to the city of Philippi. And so he travelled to Philippi by boat. And then in verses 13 and the first half of 14 we read, "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshipper of God, was listening." She was listening. What a lovely story. Very simple story. So it's the Sabbath day. That's a Saturday. And a group of people have gone out to pray. Did you notice who went out to pray? Where are the men? What is going on? Still today, the same thing. I find more women are praying than men. Anyway, the women went out to a river, riverside, outside the city of Philippi, and there they went to pray. Alright. Now Philippi, by the way, this was a big city, a Roman city, and it actually still can be looked at today. The ruins can be. The city of Philippi is in the land of Greece, so you can actually explore the ruins if you're in that country. So after COVID, you might want to visit it. Not at the moment, eh? All right. So Philippi, and you notice that this lady is there called Lydia. So Lydia is a few things we learn about her. She's a businesswoman, isn't she? A seller of purple fabric or cloth. And that was a very expensive fabric or cloth. So she was a business lady dealing in something pretty expensive. So imagine she had a fair income. Not only that, she was a religious woman. She'd gone out to pray, and she also was a worshipper of God. So she's religious. And she's also a European woman. We believe she was the first European woman to become a Christian. She came from the city of Thyatira. Okay, but also in that gathering was someone else, a non-woman. It was Paul. Paul came to this meeting. And Paul, remember Paul? The book of Acts tells us that he was a Jesus hater. He did everything in his power to destroy the Christian faith. He hated Jesus with a passion. He sought to arrest and put to death anybody who claimed themselves to be a Christian. But then you read in Acts chapter 9, as he's going up to Damascus, breathing out, you know, threats and full of anger, Jesus met him. What a story. Talk about being shaken. All right. And he had this vision of the Lord Jesus, the risen Jesus, who appeared to him, and Paul was stopped in his tracks, humbled himself, and very quickly surrendered to Jesus. He is the Lord. He is a Saviour. He got it so wrong. So wrong. This is the Paul who now is at this prayer meeting. And Paul's life changed, and the only thing he could do now was tell everybody about Jesus, including the Jewish people who he used to be working with in terms of opposing Christ and also going to the Gentiles. So Paul was there. And we read there that Paul in Acts chapter 16, he speaks to the woman. We're not sure, is it before or maybe after the prayer meeting? So he's speaking to the woman. What do you reckon he might be speaking about? The weather? How the Eagles lost the footy? No, of course not. Now, he would have been talking about Jesus. And this would have been news to those women who were meeting for prayer. These people meeting for prayer are not Christians. They're just religious. They're just people who are trying to do the right thing. And so Paul goes there and he begins to speak to them about Jesus. And what we find so lovely, just pick up on this, what's so commendable about Lydia? Lydia listened. That's the most important thing you can do. Listen to the message about the gospel. Listen. She didn't block her ears. She didn't run away. She didn't silence Paul. She listened to Paul. And as she listened to Paul, Paul helped her behold Jesus. She began to behold this one she'd never heard of before. Now, I wish, no, that's okay. God's got his word worked out. It wouldn't be lovely to have the message that Paul said here in the passage, but I reckon we know it because he wrote a lot of the New Testament. Many of his letters tell us about what he would say. And I reckon, just like in the baptistry, there would be these three big things that Paul would be declaring to Lydia and anyone else who wanted to listen. What do you reckon those three big things are? The number one thing would be, Jesus is God's Son. And you can just imagine him helping Lydia and others who are listening to understand how important that is. This Jesus, even though he was so humble, even though he was fully a man, he's more than a man. He's no ordinary man. He's the one who fulfilled all the prophecies about him. He's the one that God promised to send into our world. He's the one who did incredible miracles like no other. Friends, isn't it exciting when you think about Jesus? The one who could, at a word, raise the dead, who could calm storms, who could walk on water, who could make a blind person see again. He did these things so that we might know that he is truly the Son of God. Amen and amen. That's who he is. And that's what Paul would have been helping Lydia to understand. She would have been beholding as she listened, this man who is the Son of God. Wow. But what else would Paul be declaring? Surely he would be declaring that this person named Jesus, he also died. And his death was no ordinary death. He died. Wow. And you know, when I look at Jesus' death, we know that he was crucified to a cross. And he laid down his life. Not far from Philippi, just under 200 kilometres away, is another place where many people laid down their life. It's Anzac Cove, the Gallipoli Peninsula. Some of our ancestors may have died in battle there. Many died, 60,000 Turks and 60,000 Allied troops. They all would say they laid down their life. They laid down their life for king and country. They laid down their life in this battle. But even though they laid down their life and we remember them at Anzac Day, that does not compare to the one who laid down his life for us. Jesus laying down his life is so different. He had blinding power that he relinquished in order for people to take him and arrest him and beat him and mock him and then crucify him. He let that happen to him. He allowed himself to be taken because he knew that he would suffer the punishment of death in order to pay the penalty for our wrongdoings. He knew that he had to pay the price of our wrongdoing so that the just God could forgive us. Someone had to pay the penalty. Jesus took it on himself. That is incredible. Can you imagine Lydia beholding this, hearing this truth, hearing this reality that, yes, I'm a sinner, and this Jesus died for me. Wow. And isn't it interesting, Paul's not just making up this message. This is exactly what was declared 700 years before Jesus even came into the world. In the prophet Isaiah's writings, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, it says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let the world be in silence at that incredible thing that God has done, putting our sins on Jesus and Jesus dying for us so that we can be forgiven. Can you imagine Lydia hearing these things? You can read about this in the book of Romans and Ephesians and all these books that Paul wrote. He wanted to often speak about Jesus' death for us. But then what else do you reckon he would have spoken about? Surely the resurrection. He would have spoken about this Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. Can you imagine Paul talking about that? He saw the risen Lord, didn't he? On the road to Damascus. And to think that he would have heard about those stories from the disciples of old, that the tomb was empty. Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. His body was transformed into a glorious eternal body. And what does this declare to us? And of course, the other thing I want to say is so many times Jesus appeared to people over 40 days so that we can be sure that Jesus rose from the dead. And what great, great proof. It's like the seal from God. This is my Son. He truly is the Son of God. This is the one who alone can save. He, Jesus, is the only one who can save. The resurrection is massive. Wow. So Paul would have been telling Lydia all these things. And what was she doing? Listening. I just want to emphasize that. I notice in the Bible, right through, the worst thing about humans is not just our sin, we don't listen. And we don't listen to God. It's such a huge thing we do. I think of the prophet Jeremiah, through the whole book of Jeremiah, he is just agonizing, or God is agonizing with his people because they won't listen to him. We've been looking at the book of Revelation. Listen to Jesus speaking to those seven churches, saying those words, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Why is Jesus saying that? Because you're deaf. You're not listening. You're not listening to who I am and what I can do for you, how you need me, how we need to listen. Lydia was listening. And when you listen, you will behold the Lord Jesus. You will come to realize and behold him in your mind that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the Lord of glory. Wow. Okay. So listening is so important. And I want to just share with Sam Taffarelli. I know Sam. I know Sam Taffarelli quite well with Colleen. I really enjoyed seeing over time. First of all, a reaction. You didn't want to listen. But I remember you changing. And I remember you beginning to listen. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're listening and beholding more and more. Listening and beholding. It's such an important part that we do. Yep. And how can you do that today? Well, you can come to church and hear God's Word preached. You can do it yourself by reading the Bible, reading the Gospel accounts, and learning about Jesus. Anyone can do that. Just pick up a Bible. Start reading in the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will behold Jesus. But it's not just about beholding. It's not just about listening and beholding. Let's now look at the next part of Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to read 14 again. But the second half of verse 14 I want you to see. It says, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshipper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Did you hear that? So who opened her heart? It's the Lord. What's that about? Well, what it is, no matter how good we are at listening, no matter how good we are at beholding, at the end of the day, I need God. I need God to help me understand it. Do you realize that? You don't need a uni degree, you just need God to help you. And it's God who helps you make sense of Jesus and your need for him. He's the one who helps you. Unfortunately, as humans, and I know this because I was in the same boat, I remember when I was hearing the gospel, I wanted to actually push it away. I wanted to live my own life, do my own thing. But I praise God that he helped my heart. He helped me to open my heart to Jesus. Okay. And the Lord helps us to, he opens our heart so that we can, in my translation it says, so we can respond. So we can respond. What response are we to make when God's opening our heart and we've been beholding Jesus? What is the response? In a word, it's to believe. We are to believe in Jesus. Isn't that right? That's what John 3:16 says. This is how what we have to get to. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We need to believe in Jesus. You know, Lydia was a religious woman. And you know what that normally means? Same as today. If you're a religious person, you are normally relying upon your religion and your good works to get right with God. You're relying upon your own efforts, coming to church, praying, doing good things to get you to heaven. The only problem is, so often no one has told us that that is not the way to get right with God. And when we do hear that, we get shocked. You don't become right with God. You can't go to heaven by being religious or by being just a good person. Lydia would have been in that camp thinking that was the case. And the reason why is because no one is good enough to get to heaven. No matter how good you think you are. There's a really important Bible passage on this in Romans chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to everybody, Jewish people and Gentile people. He says in Romans chapter 3, 10 to 12, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does good. Not even one. That's God speaking through his word. And even if we thought we were such a good person, we've all done wrong. And no amount of good things can ever make up for the wrong things that we have done. Do you realize that? It's like that little saying, it only takes one hole to sink a boat, and it takes one sin to sink me. That's where Jesus comes in. Praise his name. That's why Jesus came and died for us on the cross, suffering for us, bearing the punishment of our sins, so that we can be, what's our great need? So that we can be forgiven. So that the sins we've committed can be cleansed away. That's what Jesus did. If you haven't figured that out before, that's it. As simple as that. He had to die. He had to suffer in our place and bear the punishment of our sins so that we can be forgiven. And this is what God is doing in our heart. As he opens our heart to Jesus, he's helping us to understand these things. And the two Sams, you would have experienced that. It's God touching your life, helping you. And it helps you come to that place where you cannot help but go, that's it, I'm changing. I'm changing from thinking that good people get to heaven to thinking and believing Jesus gets me to heaven. I turn to Jesus. And that's what needs to happen. We must come to believe. Now with Sam Taffarelli, just over a year ago, or a year and a bit ago, Colleen and I and Sam, and it was going to be Kevin, were going on a trip to Corrigan to help out at the church there, the country church. And I know Kevin, unfortunately you were sick, so he couldn't come. And so I was driving, and Colleen and Sam decided to sit in the back of the car and talk. All right, I didn't know what they were going to talk about. They didn't talk about husbands, that's good. So it's all good. But what they talked about was amazing. As they're going along, Sam is talking to Colleen about Jesus. And she's, you know, you can sort of tell as I'm driving the car, I have to be careful not to go off the road. Wow. She is saying to Colleen pretty much these words. She's saying, you know, Colleen, I understand who Jesus is and I believe in him. She's telling us, she's confessing in the car, the back of the car, that she believes in Jesus. It all happened. Like a flower opening to the sun. Like Lydia's heart opening to the Lord. I never forget that day. And Sam is becoming a Christian. She's going from one side to the other, going into Christ camp. What an amazing thing. It's as simple as that. That's what it means to believe. How special is that? I just want to highlight a few things about believing, because I didn't understand believing very well. I'm going to throw a few more things in about believing. I thought I was a Christian when I was younger, and I wasn't, because I thought believing meant ticking the box. Yeah, Jesus is God's son, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he rose again, and I just doing my own thing. And I never understood, but I remember God being very patient with me and helping me to understand that believing has to have something with it. If you believe that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross for your sins and that you are in trouble with God because of your sin and you need him to save you, what are you going to do? You're going to call out to him. I'll never forget the day when I did that. On my knees, on my knees crying, and I asked the Lord Jesus to save me, to come into my life. I gave him my life. I never understood it until that moment, and what a change occurs when that happens. You can tell that you are forgiven, you're right with God, and you have God's peace and joy fill your soul. There's two verses I want to quote to you so you know it's from the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It's a really important verse. This is what it means to truly believe. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." There it is. That's what it means to believe. If you believe, you're going to call on Jesus to save you. Even the Apostle Paul got told that by Ananias when he's sharing his testimony in Acts chapter 22 with the leaders of the country. It says in Acts chapter 22 verse 16, Ananias said to him, "Wash away your sins by calling on his name." Even Paul, no matter how great the vision was, he had to call on Jesus to wash away his sin. And he did. That's how he became a Christian. Not because of the vision, but because he did that simple act of faith. Wow, how important that is to do. And friends, I just want to ask you all, have you believed in Jesus? Have you put your faith in him? Have you asked Jesus? It takes faith. You know that he's there. You've got to believe that he's died for you, that you can be forgiven through him. And have you called on Jesus to save you, to forgive you. That's what you have to do. It's your choice. But that's what we have to do if we're going to go to heaven. And now we come to the last verse, verse 15. And it says here, "And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." What I want to highlight in this verse is something that's almost overlooked. It's like it's all these activities are mentioned. But there's something mentioned at the beginning of that verse. And it's the word baptism. She was baptized. She was baptized. It's like it's mentioned as if it's yes, that's the normal thing you do. Believe, baptize, and then other things are mentioned. But I just want to pause on that baptism thing. Lydia was baptized. And I know maybe people listening online or people here, I've got to say to you that the church, I'm not talking about Bazo Church, but the church overall, we've really messed up baptism. We have really misunderstood it and misused it. Baptism is as simple as we see in this story. Baptism is not for babies, it's for believers. And the other thing about baptism is not the sprinkling of water on your forehead. It's being, in the Greek word, baptism is tied to the word baptizo. It means to be immersed, just like we did. It doesn't have to be in a church. You can get baptized in the ocean, in the river. But you're meant to go under the water, be fully immersed in the water, and come out. And the reason why the Lord Jesus has chosen this wonderful act is so that we can show to the world and show to ourselves how Jesus has what he's done in our life and what we've done. When you go under the water, it's a picture of what? Of dying to self. Of no longer following the ways of this world. Or no longer believing wrong things like good works gets you to heaven. And when you come up out of the water, it's a picture of how you have a new life. Eyes on Jesus. I believe in him. He's my Saviour. And we live a new life for him. Baptism is a beautiful picture of that. Yep, you would have noticed me pushing you down in the water, go right under, a picture of death, and then coming up out of the water. I had strength today, wasn't using the chainsaw. If you don't know that story, you can ask me after. But really it's God who lifts us up to a new life. And praise his name. What a beautiful picture baptism is. Just to clarify too, some people have this question. Baptism is not something that saves you. It's a picture of what has happened to you. We are saved when we come to Jesus, when we turn to him. But baptism is a wonderful picture of what Christ has done for us, and also our wonderful opportunity to obey him. He commanded it, and to declare, as you did so well, to declare your faith in Christ. Praise his name that we can do that. Well, I'm just going to come to an end now, and I'm going to just ask you, there's three words, all starting with B, so you can remember. There was beholding, believing, and baptizing. I wonder where you're at. I want you to really consider this today. Where are you? Are you actually beholding Jesus? Or have you gone past that stage? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? Or if you've done that, have you been baptized in obedience to Christ? Where are you? I know there is many people in our world who are not even at the first stage. They will not listen to Jesus. They think he's the last person to listen in the world. And yet he's the very one we need to listen to. We need to behold him. But friends, it needs to be more than just beholding. You need to believe in Jesus. Otherwise, you will not go to heaven. There is a judgment coming. God will judge us and we will be judged for our sins unless we have come to put our faith in Jesus. And if we have come to faith in Jesus, we ought to get baptized, shouldn't we? Because he commanded it. I often think of baptism, if I take my wedding ring off, this wedding ring does not marry me. I'm married to Colleen by committing my life to Colleen, making vows. That's how I became a Christian. committing my life to Christ, making vows of commitment to Jesus. And baptism is like a wedding ring. It's a beautiful symbol that I belong to Christ, that I am saved. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have any questions this morning, even people online, I would urge you and encourage you to see me after, or Rod, email us or see to us after the service. It's so important you understand these things we've talked about today. Praise God for the beautiful story of Lydia, how she became a true Christian. She's in glory now, and that's our hope too, if we would turn to Jesus and believe in him. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your great Son, Jesus. And thank you that Lydia, what a beautiful story, just so gentle and wonderful. Her heart just opened to your Son, and she became a believer and even was baptized. And we thank you for this lovely story, and thank you for the work that you've done in the two Sams to help them also behold your Son, then to believe in him, and now to be baptized today. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you would help them to keep their eyes on Jesus. And I also want to ask for all of us here. You know every heart before you. You know if we're just into churchianity, just into religion, or whether we're just coasting through life. Lord, please would you help us to turn to your Son Jesus, to call upon him to save us. Please would you bring salvation to us today. May there be people here, Lord, that would be touched by your word and respond to you. We can't help but can't get over, Father, that you are the great God who's done such awesome things to help us who are so helplessly lost. We had no way out of our predicament. I can't help but say thank you, Father, for your great, great love, for the way you gave your own Son and put upon him our sins so that we could be forgiven. Thank you so much for what you've done. And thank you for the work you do in our life to bring us to Jesus as well. And thank you for the work you do in our life to keep us on the track until we get home to glory. What a great God. Lord, we cannot help but express to you our hallelujahs, our absolute adoration of you. You're such an awesome God. What a privilege it is to call you Father and to know you. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.